that I'm different. Self-motivated, self-disciplined. Yeah, I learned from my experience. I just want someone.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode from Boys to Men. I'm your host, Terramis the King. And I'm here with some breaking news, as people on a news channel I'm not going to announce will say. I got, Pensacola's Most Wanted. And
infamous.
In the building. Sitting down with me to do a one-on-one interview with none other than the manager of the year. The tribal chief.
Yes.
El Jefe.
Oh, there you go.
from the mind of El Rico Tonsil, the nerdy kid from Escambia.
Yeah.
Mr. El Rico Tonsil.
Yes, sir. I got to give it up for you. Thank you. Yeah, man. It's great to be here.
Yeah, been a minute.
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute, man. You know, we've been talking about doing this for a while. And now to actually be sitting here, man, and see everything happening come together.
Yeah.
It's amazing how time is set up and designed for us as humans to go through to get to certain points. So, man, to be sitting here now in this position that we're both currently sitting in.
Yes.
We're blessed, bro.
Yes, because based off what you just talked about.
Yeah.
Because he already been a guest on the show. If y'all ain't don't remember, go back and look. Go back and look. He came on with his brother. I got him on a one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But picking up where we left off last time, there was a lot of things that happened from, well, you put out a movie called Sacred.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
And
it really was a movie.
And it was a movie. Only reason I know because I was in it.
Yes, and
I seen it on a couple of platforms.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But we'll get to that later on.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the day the media attacked back. Because I know that could be a day on anybody.
Yeah.
But basically somebody question your character, question your intentions, you're questioning everything that you was doing for not just the locals around here, but for the movie industry around here.
Yeah.
Bringing something new to the table to get drugged by the media.
Yeah.
How was that?
Well, I can honestly say, man, like starting from the very beginning, my whole goal when I first started this thing with me and my brother back in the day was to always lift up, to build other people such as yourself, such as different podcasts that I've been on here going on for the past about 3 or 4 months. I've been on like a little tour. I wanted to save this one for last because this is officially my last interview before
Everything else
happened. So, but the whole thing was from the beginning, man, when it started, was to always to uplift.
Yeah.
I didn't get into this business for myself. I didn't do this because I wanted to be big. I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be a star. I wanted to be a star being in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So my whole thing was to always create opportunities for the next generation coming along because my time is limited.
Yeah.
My time on this earth is got a sand glass going on. And eventually that sand glass is going to run out. But what am I going to do with the time that I got while the sand glass is turned the other way is the question. And what I did was create a vehicle named Sacred that allowed over 100+ young men and women of different demographics to be a part of.
Yeah.
That was doubted from the conception. It was said that there's no way it could be done. It was said that there's no way that you can create something such as a movie in this city because, first of all, there's no tax incentives. There's no, you know, this just ain't the place for it. Because let's be honest, all Pensacola is known for. If you're going to run a football, box, you're going to be a nurse, or you may be a lawyer, one of the few to be a lawyer around here.
Yeah.
But that is deemed successful in our city. So for me to come along as a black man, a military veteran who served his country flawlessly on 2 tours in Iraq, okay, to come along and say, you know what, I left that war, but now I got to step into another war And this war right here happens in my own backyard with my own city, my own people, the same ones I'm trying to fight for, the same ones I'm trying to help put on. See, a lot of times, service, we don't realize that I've helped so many that didn't even have the option.
Yeah.
I gave the option to people to join and be like, you know what? I'm going to get behind you, Rico. And those people that joined and got hooked on with me have been on sets, have worked with Tyler Perry, have worked with John Singleton before he passed away, worked with Eddie Murphy on Coming to America 2, have worked on Jumanji with The Rock. See what I'm saying? Like, that stuff right there, while I was doing that, nobody ever asked me any questions. They never gave me any light. I remember going on social media going like, where's the coverage? Where's the coverage of these young people that's going out here getting on these sets and working? Now, mind you, and I'll be completely transparent, these are not leading roles. These are not roles that I'm getting for these people where it's like they shining. But the thing about it is that they're there.
Yeah.
They're on those sets. They're getting the experience. And some were blessed to get lines, but still not a peep from the media. No coverage, nothing at all. But through it all, in the beginning, I never did this for myself. I did this for the people. I did this to give back, not a selfish bone in my body. And I would not be sitting here now successful with my third LLC, which is From the Mind of Rico Tunstall Studios.
And it looks like it says trademark.
No, yes. No. Oh, it's TM. It's TM. Oh, yes. It's TM. Okay, for anyone that's wondering that. But end of the day, everything I've done has always been about the people, man. So to have 6 months of my life where it seemed like I was an alien in my own city, and it caused me to go into hibernation, especially me being a veteran with PTSD, diagnosed, you know, from being over there, it's easy for me to isolate.
Yeah.
But my outlet is making movies. My outlet is helping people.
Yeah.
And certain media took that away from me. End of the day, they were doing their job. So they say, they were doing their job, and I don't knock them because that's what they're supposed to do. But please, don't take and come from my throat and push it like to that level that they did.
Oh yeah.
But I don't have no bad feelings toward them because you know what? You taught me a lesson.
Yeah.
Because now nobody knows my moves. Nobody knows what I'm doing no more. And trust me, we just getting started. So. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry to take up all that time.
No, that's actually what we're here for, because mm-hmm. and like I love what you said, because mm-hmm. you said they were doing their job.
Yeah, yeah. I don't knock them for that.
Yeah, and look.
Yeah.
And that's why I looked at it too. I was like, you know, they're doing their job, but they mm-hmm. didn't realize what they're doing, your spiritual job too. Because they're pushing you. Like I was talking to somebody about this today. I think at the gym.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, it's funny, we always get to a storm or get to like a hell moment in our life
mm-hmm.
and we revert.
Yeah,
instead of going through,
mm-hmm.
they brought you the hell moment that mm-hmm. made you go through, and now you're stronger on the other side. Like all that impurities and burnt off.
Yeah.
A lot of people that you thought was close around,
mm-hmm.
they had ill intentions.
Yeah,
and it showed like who was with you. I think they set up that we needed that. So yes, I look at now every.
It was a blessing.
It was a blessing in disguise.
It was a blessing. Yeah. I think about it all the time. I go to myself. I say, if it wasn't for the transgressions and all of the spewing of hatred that came out, then the true Judas that were around me never would expose and show their faces. Yeah. They would continue to just sit around and follow me on the road, but all along just waiting to sell me out for some silver. But see, the time came, and now those people who once were with me that you used to see in all the pictures always around me.
Yeah.
Just look at it now. Look who's not around. And they'll tell you who was really real and who really wasn't.
They're there for what you can do for them.
Exactly. What I can do for them, as long as I was putting you on stages, putting you in stuff, allowing you to do things that nobody else could imagine.
Yeah.
Okay? And you were getting there? Oh, you're okay. But as soon as my dark period came, well, now I wasn't able to make moves for 6 months. Phone calls stop. They don't call. All of a sudden, I ain't with them. I'm not with them. And it don't bother me because I want you to live your best life, and I wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Yeah.
That's my catchphrase.
Yeah.
But I'm not hurt because I want to see you blessed.
Yeah.
No matter whether you're with me or you're not, whatever you're going to do in your life, be blessed. Because I can sleep at night.
Yeah.
Because I know I gave you everything I had while I was with you.
Yeah.
I give you. That's what I did.
Yeah.
There was no half-stepping. So I took you from when nobody knew you to now, you was on stages and you was in studios on sets that you could only have dreamed about.
Yeah.
And now you're not here with me, and I wish you the best, whoever you may be, that may think this is about you.
Yeah.
And it ain't about you.
They always, it's always funny, everybody was like, are you talking about me?
Yeah. Hit dogs holler though.
Exactly.
Hit dogs holler.
If it feels some way, that means you need to question this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because this thing about it, people don't know, me and you, mm-hmm. we go to the same gym. At one point,
yes.
I didn't even see you for a minute.
Yeah.
And when I say a minute, it was crazy because, you know, when all this stuff happened,
mm-hmm.
at first I was like, wait, hold up, what's going on? It just came out of the blue. You don't know what, boom, I'm used to being able to see you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I see him in the morning. I was like, don't want to talk to him. I was like, where you at?
Yeah.
I was like, and then I was like, you know, first, as a human instinct, I was like, let me sit back and question everything. I said, hold up. Now I started looking back at it because I remember what Chelsea did to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So I was like, and it's funny, sometimes when I walk around town,
mm-hmm.
I used to hate going around town because I'm like, people are always looking and say, oh, that's a guy from that store right there.
Oh yeah.
That's a guy from this.
Bro, I'm the same way. When I go to, and I won't say the name of the church, but I remember walking into a certain church, they was having an event.
Because
I don't want to give too many people for me to put together what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I walked into a certain church and I felt certain eyes
from
certain people staring at me. But then I also felt the love from people going like, hey, way to stand up for yourself, young man. Good to see you back.
Yeah.
We keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But you can still feel them eyes across the room just like
staring at you like, he had the audacity to show up here.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
But I'm looking at him like, because most people never question
mm-hmm.
things that they see on the news.
Yeah.
And they always just go with it and run with
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are real dangerous.
Yeah.
Because they help push a story and a narrative that's really not true majority of the time.
That's true.
But we need those people at the same time too.
Mm-hmm. Because
like now, I started looking back. I was like, all right, I made me a hit list. I ain't saying it was a hit list.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to check, I'm like, check with these people, but mm-hmm. like, when I win, mm-hmm. which I'm going to do regardless.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I don't block nobody on.
Never do that. Yeah.
I keep you around because.
Yeah.
No, you told me I couldn't. You told me this. And you said you believe what they said over here.
Yeah. And something that my people have always said about me, one of my good friends and my brother, basically, which is favorite, has always said, like, man, bro, people know you got a big heart.
Yeah.
They know that they can cut your throat and you're going to put a Band-Aid over it and still let them come back.
Yeah.
Because my heart is one that's after God. Like, I forgive.
Yeah.
I forgive. Even though, as we said earlier in the interview, they might have said things about me in the media. Bro, I don't care about that. If I see you at Publix, if I see you at the gym or whatever,
hey.
It's all good. Hey, how you doing, man? Amen. I got no ill will toward anyone. Anyone, because I am so grateful for what God is doing for me. Mm-hmm. Where the places he's taking me to.
Yeah.
I've been told already my territory is going to expand. So if I'm worried about Pensacola and about what one person or 17 total people are saying, when there's over 8 billion people on earth, why am I concerning myself with the 17 people on Facebook that got a problem with me?
You can't.
I can't. I'm just not going to read the comments and I'm not going to know what you're saying anyway. So,
and that's sometimes the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Because like, I remember when I was going through my trial,
mm-hmm.
the hardest thing for me, as soon as I got out of jail and everything, I was like, done with my Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Mama, you know what I'm saying? I have to.
Yeah.
Because one thing about me, I don't mind you attacking me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you're attacking other people that are attached to me,
mm-hmm.
instead of, I'm not here to defend it.
Yeah.
That's why I have a problem.
Yeah.
And I was looking at that and I made a note.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, boom. All right. This person said this person said this. So I'm like, I know their true intention now.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you boom, see me out about, I say, hey.
Yeah.
But it's like that silver handed spoon. Like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you gotta keep your distance.
Yeah.
Because you was saying this, that to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about this to my sister.
Yeah.
You were saying this, that, and this person. I'm like, nah, yeah, they my family, but yeah. You got something to say, mm-hmm. say it to me. And it was just like, my mom was like, oh, no, watch, don't look.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because also, it motivated me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a secret. It was like a love letter that I didn't know I was writing a love letter. Because
mm-hmm.
at one point, I thought everything was over.
Mm-hmm.
I thought my dreams was over completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was at a point where I was just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think nothing else was possible.
Yeah.
And then I went to this meeting, and I met this guy named Mr. Ewell Tunsil.
Yeah.
Had me your old brother.
Yeah.
And later on that night, I went to the gym, and I mm-hmm. met Elrico Tunsil. And then he helped. Like, I'll never believe nothing as a coincidence anymore.
Yeah.
Everything is ordained and mm-hmm. everything was meant to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that would bring back to what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, I was like, oh, this man gave me an opportunity when nobody else was pushing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, we could show a movie of him. Mm-hmm. So what are they talking about?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Well, I'm going to listen to the naysayers when I just, shoot. I was like, even if nothing else happened, no more with no movie ever again.
Yeah.
I have fulfilled my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the big screen. My
yep.
kids seen it. And
yep.
low key, if I seen it, they saying seeing is believing.
Yes,
it is. I seen the proof, and the proof is in the pudding. Because not only that.
Yeah.
You're on 12 different streaming platforms right now.
We're everywhere.
So
everywhere.
Low key.
Yeah.
How is it not real still?
Look, I look at it like this, man. Just to kind of quote on what you were saying, jump on what you were saying, love covers a multitude of sin. So as you said, feeding those people out of a long-handled spoon.
Yeah.
Yes, you do that, but you always be kind.
Yeah.
Be kind, be nice. Never take and show them your ugly side, because by doing that, you're proving them right.
Yeah.
And for me, man, I've always been the person like that that said, hey, if you take... And everybody used the Martin Luther King, you know, turn the other cheek, you know, like that. You know, look, I'm on that right now. That's the type of peace that I have within now. Well, like, I'm willing to turn my other cheek. Think about it, I only got two cheeks now. So remember that. I only got two right now. I'm saying I ain't going past that. But the bottom line is, man, like I said, learning how to forgive and being able to get through all those negative people saying stuff about whatever they may say. But you just cover that with love, man. Cover love. Show love. Because they want to see that ugly side of you so they can say, see, I told you. But no, I'm not going to give you that satisfaction because that ain't me.
Yeah.
Bro, you, from the moment you met me,
yeah.
I have been this person sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
This ain't no
different
act.
Different hair.
Different hair. Yeah, different hair. But I've been this person, bro. Like, there's no acting about me. When you around me in the gym, when do you hear me cuss?
None.
When do you see me do anything that think about it, that they try to paint me as a scam artist? And then, bro, you've seen me.
Yeah.
And look, I am me.
Because
I'm him.
Exactly. And the funny thing you said that, because I look at it, like this industry, like it's mm-hmm. so tricky.
Yeah.
Because you got people teaching, mm-hmm. and they be like, all right, we teaching, but they're not going nowhere. They ain't, mm-hmm. you know, but like, boom. So this one of the allegations they said, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, he's hosting acting classes and putting mm-hmm. the people in, his own people. And I was like, they auditioned, so low key, boom. But then they started talking about the price. I was like, I took acting classes here
mm-hmm.
in another place as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the prices of the classes and amount you were given.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, actually, this is less than my tuition for a whole month, and I get less classes. So
mm-hmm.
I was like.
But you know what caught him though, right?
Yeah.
The fact that it was
a black man doing teaching them.
Yeah. And when they seen that, and the fact that they can't say that we created him.
Yeah.
See, that's what in this city gets a lot of people by.
Yeah.
If you touched, which means they've given you, you know, the pass to say, okay, we created that one, so he can do whatever. They don't know me.
Yeah.
See, yeah, I was a nerdy kid who was up on the radar. I didn't play, you know, I played sports, but I was a nerd. I was what I was, you know what I mean? So I didn't get the big pool. I wasn't in prom. I didn't go to prom. Like, I didn't have none of the things that made me known. So when I left here in 2000 and joined the Army and was gone for 10 years and then left being gone here for 10 years and then went to college, got my education, cut my teeth in California, North Hollywood, on those streets in Hollywood and learning the game and came back, they was like, who is this guy? They didn't know me. But this is where I was raised. But the fact that they didn't know me was the reason why the certain godfathers didn't bless me and touch me and be like, oh yeah, that's the one. Because I did something without their help. I did something that didn't require me panhandling to them. I created every single thing. Everything from, think about it. Okay, there were acting classes here, right?
Yeah.
But how many Black-led acting classes that was teaching Meisner technique, teaching film study, okay, scene study, improvisation, audition techniques, monologue study? There was nobody doing that here before me. Now, all I always say in a lot of interviews, yeah, shout out to Bacar.
Yeah.
That's the man, that's a godfather around here. When they come to the plays,
he got it.
I give him hats off to him. Yeah. Now we're talking about movies and film.
Yeah.
Nobody around here was doing that.
Was
so when I came in, my first acting school class, it was maybe like 9 people I had in there. And out of those 9, I built a foundation, Terrence. I built a foundation. And from there, out of those 9, it grew. Class 2, class 3, class 4, silently making all these moves, creating a world where eventually I got to a point where I ran across a guy named Sean Yaboo. Yaboo was going around the city shooting music videos. Me and him crossed paths one night down in the village. Said, hey, man, I heard a lot about you. He said, hey, I heard a lot about you. I said, you got the camera equipment. Well, you got the actors.
Let's make it happen.
Put all this together.
Yeah.
We created something beautiful, but it didn't require the godfathers around here, the ones who touched the Black people and say, oh yeah, you good, green light, you can go. And it got to a certain point where the powers that be, when the noise got so big, they was like, nah, we gotta shut this down. Nah, this can't be real. And the questions start coming up. That's why if you look, man, you Google my name, bro,
yeah,
you're gonna see a lot of positive stuff on there.
Yeah.
A lot of positive things. You're gonna find those two little marks that was set by certain media to try to discredit me after me building this. See, anytime you do something, you gotta put in 10,000 hours at least in order to be successful in it. I done put in 30,000 hours on this. I done put my time in every single day. I mean, from the time I got back here to Pensacola, building this from the ground. So for them to say they're going to come along and just try to discredit me like this,
no.
The only ones you discredit me with is the ones who didn't know me. And the ones that still don't know me. But what they did was now the ones who didn't know me,
they know you now.
And now they do know
me. They know you now.
So hats off to you. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Because what you said, you brought it up from the ground up.
Yeah.
Remind me of this wrestler that I like to watch.
Oh, now, man.
His name is L.A. Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Said, let me talk to you. Hey, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Like, his journey is kind of similar. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't go straight to it.
He didn't.
He went through this promotion, this promotion. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how to use him.
Yeah.
Had a stud the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at it now. It's like, based on what you said, built from the foundation.
Foundation.
How up. And I realize a lot of people, like you said, mm-hmm, if they're not in on that foundation, mm-hmm, they will go ahead and boom, try to knock you out, mm-hmm, knock you out of the way.
Yeah.
It's like the ways of America. I ain't say ways of the world. Ways of America.
America.
Yeah. Because, like you said, there are them,
mm-hmm,
closed door meetings and closed door rooms that
we're
not allowed to be in.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes down to them.
Mm-hmm.
But like us,
yeah,
there's that much less of an opportunity for us in other rooms.
Oh yeah.
And for us to try to create our own room is frightening for them, because they was like, that shows they don't need us.
Mm-hmm.
If they know they don't need us, that's all our power.
Yeah.
And then they lose their power, then they realize, oh, they're down here right with us.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, kind of like that scene from Falcon and Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm,
at the end when top of the politicians and everything.
Mm-hmm.
How to feel to be helpless now.
Yeah.
You feel how we feel now.
Yeah.
And not realizing, like, we have that same power.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually, you started a platform so big in this city that.
Yeah. I look on the book, I look on social media, and I see so many, like, filmmakers who weren't there before, all of a sudden now getting some notice.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I'm happy, man, because, like, hey, man, like, this is what it's all about, man. Like, For real, just not, see that
uprising. Competition. It wasn't a competition.
Yeah.
And people thought it was so much a competition, be like, dang. And like I said, because he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He's like, he ain't did this in a long time. He ain't never did this. He ain't never did this. He never did this. I was like, this will make him mad.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like Montgomery before Montgomery, the bus thing.
Yeah,
the boat, mm-hmm. right chub.
Yeah.
We got red chubs in here for us. Mm-hmm. Come here, we shoot mm-hmm. red chub.
Yeah.
But Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people always say, oh, he ain't. I was like, look, Steve Jobs sat in classes and got certain knowledge from different classes.
Mm-hmm.
Never graduated. Mm-hmm. Went on to make Apple, all of those stuff. Y'all never questioned him.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
this man took classes over there in LA,
mm-hmm.
middle school,
mm-hmm.
decided to come mm-hmm. back and finish up his school
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
At Virginia College.
Get my business,
got the business part.
Yeah.
Because he's like, all right, let me get this business part.
Mm-hmm.
Because he saw a bigger picture than just entertainment. He said, hey, boom. And then they really tried to discredit everything. I was like,
man, oh my goodness, bro. Like, and I remember sitting in a certain room with a certain individual, and this individual is watching, okay? And if he is, hello. Hey, all love, nothing against you, man. But let's just say, now sitting in this room with a certain individual, I remember my education being questioned.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way back from where when I left LA Film School and I decided to go to Virginia College to get my business management degree to get that, because I was told, if they're like, nah, I'm good, you know, whatever. And it was like, no, because you need that paper, because certain people are going to question your education because you're a black man doing something that
nobody else
is doing
around here.
Not like, and once again, I got to say this too. Shout out to my boy named Calvo Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Calvo Griffin, man, one of the most unsung heroes, bust his tail, been doing it for a long time.
Right.
And I will never claim to say, hey, I got, you know, something over him, because his brother been doing it.
Yeah.
So shout out to him.
Oh, yeah.
The only difference between me and him is that they seen him.
Yeah.
They knew who he was.
They seen him coming.
You
get that.
They didn't see me coming. So that's why they were like, who is this? Because I remember him telling me, like, man, you know, they asking me a lot of questions, and they're like, and he's like, this guy's for real. Like, he really doing this. Like, he got a movie, he done shot it, and he's getting ready to go on. But the fact that they didn't see me discredited me from the beginning, like, we don't know him.
Yeah.
Calvin, who is this guy? You know what I mean? And still to this day, bless his heart, man, Calvin puts on one of the most dopest, and that ain't even the correct vernacular, but the most dopest film festival this side of the Mississippi happens with Calvo, and he puts it on every year. And it doesn't get the support that it needs in the community. Because why? We done talked about it.
Yeah.
Because it's Calvo putting it on. That's what I'm saying, because it's Calvo, and Calvo is, so they ain't always gonna come out. They ain't gonna come out for that. They ain't gonna come out in droves, but let them do something else. They're gonna be packed. But I don't worry about all that, because in the day, I'm doing what I do.
Yeah.
And I am going to do everything in my power, man, to leave my mark, not just in this city, but on this world. I want the world to remember by saying, you know what? He helped thousands of people reach their potential, reach their dreams. I don't care what you say about me. I want you to say, at my funeral, Enrico Tunstall helped thousands to reach their potential, and that's his legacy.
Like I said, legacy, what you get left after it's all said.
It's all said and done.
And that's the biggest thing about anything.
Yeah.
Because they can't take that away from you.
They can't take it away.
Because, matter of fact, if you look up on
IMDb.
Mm-hmm. There.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
They ain't even talk about that. Like, we the first independent movie ever filmed in this city to actually even be mentioned on Rotten Tomatoes. But that don't get talked about. They don't get talked about, bro. Like, it's the moves being made, bro. But like I said, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good because love covers a multitude of sins, bro.
Ooh.
So I love y'all, man, for real. Because the more I feel from you, the more it pushes me.
Yeah.
It drives me, man. You just don't know how much fire that's inside of me, man. It makes me just want to go hard at this thing, man. And get outside the city and help so many. Because if you don't want me here to help, I'm going to help everybody else, but you're going to see an influx of people coming here.
Because
I told you, what I said earlier in the interview, God done showed me, bro, the territory is going to expand. it's going to expand.
It becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So now, and also this thing about too, because we ran into each other a lot between that 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
In different situations, different predicaments.
Yeah.
Because you had to deal with all of that.
And family.
And family stuff.
Yeah.
And people don't, like I said, they never will know everything you go through on a day-to-day basis.
They have no idea.
And I'm going to let y'all know right now, when places I seen him during that time, he went through.
Oh, yeah.
Because not just, mental-wise, PTSD, when you finally started getting back in the gym.
Yep.
Then your mom got sick.
Yeah. And people don't even know that now because I don't say that, man. I wear, like, I have the persona of being Batman, the Dark Knight, of being this superhero.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think of me as being cocky.
Yeah.
And I'm not that guy. All I am is just a guy who knows how to serve.
Yeah.
See, I served before I got here. Before I got to the point I'm at now where I'm actually directing, I served. I swept the floors. I moved the chairs. I picked up the trash.
Extras.
I was extra. I did all that. I was an extra on the set of Glee, extra on the set of CSI. I done all that.
And look, I actually just explained that about you. You told me after.
I cleaned bathrooms. I done it all, bro.
I remember after we left the gym one day, because we were working out, actually a couple weeks ago, you told me the story how you end up starting producing. You started learning, like, hey, I want to be on this side.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
beautiful. Yeah.
That story right there.
Yeah.
Inspired me.
Inspired me. Okay.
So I know it would inspire somebody else. Yeah. I feel like they need to know. Like, that's what they say. God kind of guides your steps every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends little angels here and there to push you in the direction you need to go.
That's right.
Because I think if we don't go back to that story, they'll never understand how ordained things will be.
Yeah. It's true, man.
So you were leaving this set of, I think you said Glee.
Yeah, it's a Tater Tot episode, the famous Tater Tot episode, man. I had spent, I think it was, maybe about 2 weeks getting ready for my famous scene. My agent at times said, hey, we got a part for you. It's going to be on Glee. We're playing one of the Tater Tot kids. And I remember walking around like, okay, great girl, be on Glee. I finally get there. And I remember seeing the cast, everybody from Glee, from Mercedes to Finn, to all, everybody was there, right?
Yeah.
And I'm excited. And I'm thinking like, man, I'm finally going to be on, you know, it's going to be big. And well, put it long story short, I didn't even make television time. I think you might have seen my forearm reach in to get a Tater Tot. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
The fact that I was there and I spent close to like 14 hours on that set, you know, getting ready. To have my hand shown. But I remember leaving there, and I remember the security guard lady telling me, she was just like, hey, how was your day? And I was like, oh, man, it was great, man. You know, I was on the set, and I met everybody. She was like, that's cool. But you ever thought about being behind the camera? I said, nah, why? She was like, because the life behind the camera is what actually goes on forever. You can do that for a long time.
Yeah.
And also, you can be a gatekeeper. You can help others like yourself to get on. And I was like, I thought about it. So I remember going back to the Chateau where I stayed at, and the guy sitting around, and I remember one of the guys went to LA Film School. He was like, you know, telling me about it. I said, well, cool, I got a GI Bill. Maybe I can use it to go there. And I remember going down, man, to that school, and first day, it's maybe about 200 plus. Because the first day of film school, there's always a bunch of kids where everybody drop out, okay?
Yeah.
So 200 of us sitting in the room. Yeah, 200 of us sitting in the room, man. And I never forget the professor standing up front. And he going like, all right, everybody who wants to be a director, raise your hand. Say 80% of the room went up. Everybody who wants to be a producer, raise your hand. Now 15% of the room went up. Everybody who want to be writers, raise your hand. 3%. Everybody want to be editors, 1%. And I'm sitting there, and he looking at me like, hey, you, your hand ain't go off for none of that. What do you want to be?
Oh.
I said, well, technically, I want to be a casting director. And he looked around. He was like, nobody's ever said that. Tell us why you want to be a casting director. I said, because at the time, in my mind, I'm thinking the casting director is the gatekeeper who allows the actors, which I once was, an opportunity to get on the set. And that was my first thought initially in the beginning, casting. And I remember saying that, and everybody in the room turned around looking. Man, the whole time I was in film school, I casted maybe about 30, 40 student films where everybody was coming to me because I was good at it. I was good at casting, bro. Can nobody cast a movie like me? Because I knew, first of all, how to do my thing.
Yeah.
So, long story short, that was my initial thought. It was casting. But then I started figuring out as I was watching my fellow students, you know, work around, like, okay, you producing. Let me just watch you a little bit. And I remember watching, and I sucked on the camera. So while they was doing camera, doing the real work, and I was in casting, I pick up the broom and I just sweep, but I'm watching him on camera. Okay, that's what you're doing. Okay. Hey, writer, so what made you? Yeah, man, so that's what you're doing. I'm sweeping, picking up trash, cleaning the bathroom, you know, from the places that we had to use, you know, afterwards. So I'm learning all this stuff. And then that's when I remember, one day I was downtown Hollywood, I'm walking, and this is the best part of the story, ladies and gentlemen who's watching. And I remember walking, and there was a long line of people. And I stopped, I said, hey man, what am I out here for? And he was like, there's a new show with Chris Jericho called Downfall that they're casting for, man. It's a game show. I said, oh, that's dope, man. He's like, hey man, you wanna get in line? I looked in line and said, I'm not getting it back up. He said, come on, you jump in front of me. Cool. So I jumped in front of him. Man, the line was still about an hour long. We finally get all the way up to the front. And I remember going in the room, there's a panel of judges sitting in front of me. And I walk in there, and you had 10 seconds to tell them about yourself. And I remember walking up, and I said something really catchy, because I'm really good on my feet. So I said something that caught their attention. So then it's like, okay, all right, guys, well, we'll give you guys a call, leave your email, call you back. I get a phone call 48 hours later saying, hey, we want you in Burbank for a callback. You're talking about jumping through the roof. Like, oh, my God, I'm getting a callback. Getting a callback. So I'm still in film school. I'm telling my friend, like, yeah, man, I got a callback for this new show coming on ABC. And I went down to it. I remember going in there, doing the callback. And he was like, okay, we just want to see your personality. You know, tell some of your hobbies. They're just talking to me. That's all it was. Tell them some of my hobbies. Tell them, you know, quick little, you know, back and forth. You're like, cool, cool, cool. So then from there, they're like, all right, we'll give you a call back.
No.
Maybe 2 weeks later, I'm like, all right, I'll call back. But this is the way the industry works. It's called a call back. Finally, man, they call me back and say, we want you on the show. So I had my opportunity. If you guys get a chance, go on YouTube. It's called Downfall with Chris Jericho. I don't know what episode number it is, but I'm on there. And I went on that, man. Long story short, I won some money. When I won that money, I took, man, I came off of that show and said, I'm going back to Pensacola. I'm going to take everything I learned from sitting on all these sets. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to jump in business school. Okay. Do what I need to do. And I'm going to start building. And that's how I started, bro. I came back here and I took everything because I watched and all those guys that I was in student films with and was LA film, they're now in the industry. That's the reason why it was so easy for me to pick up the phone and get people on sets and start on the management side. And people going like, how are you getting these opportunities? You're not on Actors Access. I didn't have to go on Actors Access because everybody I went to school with is now in the game.
They already know.
They there. And they couldn't figure out how I was making these moves. So I did the management thing, man. I did promotions, all the stuff around the city, but I built slowly and in silence. Until I got too big. And now this face, with the old face, with the beard and all the hair, got plastered in. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. But I learned, man. I learned.
But one thing I'm glad that you went through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're on the other side of it.
Other side of it. Other side of it.
Once you go on the other side, I think it's like the weight of everything gets lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like when they put you in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're like an iron and gold. It's like all the other stuff come out, and then you come out, you shine even more.
Hey, look at it, bro. Look at it. Think about it. And this is something I've heard them say a million times throughout history, and also you can see it all the times everywhere. The biggest tree in the world. The biggest tree in the world. Think about it. Where did it start? In the ground. It's a seed in the dirt, bro. It had to be buried first.
To another level. And now you got another level.
Another level. And I thank God for it every day, man. Because this tree's still growing.
Yeah.
I got branches to put out, man. My dream and my focus is to not be on me, but it's to help young screenwriters like you, young directors like you, come along. If you can pick anything out of my brain, I can give it to you. Now I want to see you grow. Put your film out, bro. What do I always tell you when I'm with you?
Oh, yeah.
What you waiting on? Put your stuff out, bro.
Yeah.
Put it out.
You know, y'all, I can contest this because it was actually like less than a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I came to Rico, was in the gym talking and everything. I was like, yeah, man, I'm stuck on this one part. I was looking like 50-something pages. I was on 50-something pages.
Mm-hmm.
He said, man, just gonna see some type of direction next time I see you.
Yeah.
I called my little brother,
mm-hmm.
Keyshawn, and I was like, hey, man, I need your help. I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, boom. So we got together to start storyboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Got storyboard together. I was like, okay. Make sure the flow, make sure it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Went in, started where I left off at, boom, and went back in, fixed it up. Now I'm sitting on a 74-page
yes.
and ready to rock and roll.
Masterpiece. Yeah.
And I kid you not, I think I would have still been working on it now if mm-hmm. I wouldn't have got that extra little push or boost.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I got to show some type of progression.
Yeah.
I got to show some type of progression.
You got to.
And I said, the people like that
mm-hmm. in
your life are the people that help push you.
That's it.
Because everybody else is like, oh, no, you can wait. No, don't worry about it. Boom, let's focus on this. Like, literally,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of girls right now are mad at me because I have turned down some women in these last couple months.
Yeah.
That they were like, hey, look, this other. Nah, I got to focus. I'm like, hey, I got to finish writing. And I said, I can hang out with you afterwards.
Yeah.
If I'm not done with this, you can't hang out.
And I stress this point to a lot of folks, man, that don't see me necessarily out so much at a lot of the parties and a lot of the get-togethers and the gatherings. Don't take it personally that I'm not showing up to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
If you don't see me at a certain thing, a certain event, it's because I'm working.
Grinding.
I'm grinding, man. Because I'm at a point in my life, man, where God has blessed me to be with this silver gray hair, to have the wisdom to know when to turn it on and when to turn it off.
Right.
And right now he got me on to the point where I got too much work to do. I got too much to do. I don't believe in just going to parties and going places just to go. Me and my buddy said it a long time ago. Cause we gotta give away free tickets to the BET Awards, the Grammys. You can always go to that stuff and sit in the audience.
Yeah.
But I wanna go there and go there because I'm on the stage. You know what I mean? I don't wanna show up at your event and I'm just another regular guy walking around. I wonder when you see me.
Oh, there you go.
That's that guy. Shout out to Sammy Sam too, by the way.
Yeah, and Loki,
Neutral, right. All the boys out there, you know what I'm saying?
They're kind of actually funny because it's like a mindset I have mm-hmm. too. Because everybody is like, bro, you don't hang out with me. I was mm-hmm. like, bro, I've been inside hanging out. Y'all been
yeah.
like, y'all saw me out one time this whole year. If yeah. I did go out this year, and then y'all think, oh, I'm back out. I'm like, no.
Nah.
I did that kind of. Cause I got tired of y'all asking me
yeah.
when they caved in.
Yeah.
And every time I go out, I'm mad. I was like, I think I went out here.
Yeah.
Why waste some money? I could be doing this,
yeah.
doing this. Every time I go out somewhere, I think about the time I could be putting in the things
exactly.
I need to be putting them into.
Yeah.
It's like, right now I've been at a standstill for a lot of stuff.
But
at the same time, too, I'm like, I got to spend time with my family.
Yeah.
I got time to actually create.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Take advantage of this time because I said, no, a lot of time is not going to end up like this.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to have this free ability to just spend time with them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I got to figure out once I said new levels, I mean new responsibilities.
Yeah.
That means new people that I'm responsible for as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I already know this thing is going to get harder as it goes.
Oh, yeah.
But as long as I know how to balance and manage.
Balance. It's about balance, man.
Yes.
And don't get wrong, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination because there's a lot of times that my life, as far as my family, will lack because of my obsession with success.
Yeah.
And to be successful, you have to be obsessed, which means there's going to be a lot of times, man, a lot of events, a lot of family stuff that, don't get wrong, it sucks that you have to miss it.
Yeah.
But if you want to be successful,
you gotta be
obsessed, man. You gotta put everything else aside. Like, this has got to be what you want to do. You have to put your 10,000 hours in.
Yeah.
If you're not doing that, you're just gonna be normal. And I was not created to be normal. God did not put me here for that. He put me here, man, to leave my mark and to make an impact and to help people.
Woo.
I was not drafted into the Army. Didn't nobody come to my mom and daddy and tell them, your son has been drafted, you going in. I get a letter in the mail saying, go to war, go to jail. No, no, there wasn't none of that. I chose to go into the Army. So people after me are people that didn't want to go, didn't have to go. I chose to go in there. I choose to be a filmmaker. I choose to be a entrepreneur. This ain't something somebody said, this is what you're going to be. This is what I chose. So if I'm choosing it, that means I better give 100% to it because it's my choice. I can't argue with my wife. The reason why I can't take out for dinner is because somebody told me I got to be a writer tonight. No, no, no. I need to know this is what I chose to do.
Yeah.
This is the mantle on my life.
Yeah.
I know that this script I'm creating is going to create 27 new actors who've never been seen before and give them the opportunity within 6 to 8 months to be seen worldwide. From the incubation of a thought upon writing a screenplay to casting to pre-production to production to post, 6 to 8 months, those 27 people, that characters I created in my mind, are now going to be showing around the world and given an opportunity to be seen from where they just working at Winn-Dixie right now. Or maybe they bagging groceries at Publix. Or maybe they at GNC getting you your whatever,
your
pills or whatever, your fish oil.
Yeah.
But those same ones that I walk up and I pick out and be like, hey, I see something in you. Now, one of those 27, I see them worldwide because I was obsessed. I followed through. I didn't just go halfway with something. Don't come to me and say you want to be an actor, but yet you don't ever take no classes.
Oh, yeah.
Don't come to me and say you want to be a singer, but yet, where do we see you singing? Don't come to me and say, hey, I want to be a writer like you, Rico, but yet you never show me nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a filmmaker that can say,
you did it.
I'm on these platforms. Check me out. Go to IMDb. Yeah. It's real. Because before, it was talk. Yeah. Now, it's reality. Yeah. And that's what we're living in. Reality, the now.
Yes,
obsession, bro. That's what I'm at, man.
And when did you know that you were obsessed with this? I've been realizing sort of similar things right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of anybody young, like,
mm-hmm.
it's like when you know you like, all right, I'm good. I'm obsessed with this. This ain't just even about what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about like, hey, I have to do this. This ain't no, I get, no, it's, hey, this is my priority right here.
Yeah.
So when did you know that you were obsessed with this?
I knew I was obsessed with this when I could no longer sleep at night. When ideas would download into my brain. And I just knew I had to get in front of my my Mac computer and start typing. I knew I was obsessed with this when I would watch and critique movies so closely from people like Christopher Nolan all the way down to Will Packer to you name it, Steven Spielberg. And I would sit there so close and monitor and watch and be like, I see what they're doing. I think I can do that. All right, let me take my free time. Let me take the resources that I have and see what I create. And I would take and go out with Favor and Philanda and the crew, Sequoia, and shoot YouTube videos of the choir director running around, and we going all through the city shooting. Just learning. I was so obsessed with, okay, I gotta get better. And even the times of being on a set, knowing that everybody else is tired, but I know that you got two more takes inside of you. I know you got it in you. No, I don't like the way you hold your mouth. Put this toothpick in your mouth. But I can see little things like that because I'm so obsessed with minute details that even now I sit here, man, and like I said, my mind is constantly just going. I can't turn it off. I can't turn it off, man. Even if I am out to dinner with my wife or if I'm at Chuck E. Cheese with my kids, I'm thinking about that next project. I'm thinking about, oh man, that person behind the counter right there sure would make a good person in that scene. Don't turn off. It don't turn off, bro. And it never will. Because I want to be successful at this. And success to me is knowing that I gave everything I had when I'm laying on that deathbed with no regrets, standing around and going like, yeah. Nah, all y'all can just leave because I done gave everything that I had in this.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
Kind of remind. Ooh. I already. Yeah. Because, you know, and the thing about you just said, regret. You know, unfortunately, I had to go to a funeral like last weekend, and I ran to the face of the girl. I swear that had. Still have my heart and everything, so she married, got this kid and everything too. And it was crazy because I'm looking, this is my first time seeing her since we broke up. This is 12 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize I was still tied up on that. I'm tied up on her. I was like, yo, just seeing her just.
Yeah.
It's just like nothing ever ended. Finally got to talk to her and everything too. Now I realize, like, man, if that would have happened. I would not be who I am today.
Things
I will hold up on, like, thinking, like, I regret it. That I realized, like, no, because that wouldn't have made me, I wouldn't be living my dreams.
It's right.
I'll be, yeah, I'll be a more, like, family man, father, and all this other stuff, too, but I would have been not fulfilling, I feel like, was my purpose here.
Yeah.
Because what I went that route, there's no podcast. Well, that route, there's no acting.
Yeah.
There's no writing.
None of that.
I would literally
God was crushing you.
Yeah.
Getting you ready to be the person you turned out to be. Everything you've been through in your life was preparing you to get to where you're supposed to go to. Now, as he's preparing you to get there, you've got to be ready to get to go there. While he's preparing you to get there, you got to be prepared to go there. See, if people don't understand, they think, oh, I'm just being beat up by life. Life is beating me up. All these bad things are happening. I lost my girl. My dog just died. I lost my job. No, no, these things are happening
for you.
For you. To set you up. Because sometimes we get so stuck in our ways. Think about it. If the media didn't do what they did to me, I never would have had the mindset to do what the world is getting ready to see soon.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay? It forced me to come uncomfortable. Because sometimes life can do that to us. It can make us so comfortable that we forget what it's like to grind, to truly aspire and to push. Because we're comfortable, like, oh man, I got this in the bag. No, 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 no. Don't ever get like that. Never get like that, man. Like I said, man, I look at you, man, and I see the future. I see that, okay, these cameras you got set up in here, man, the drive, like, I know you got it in you. And bro, like, I have no doubt that you are going to ascend and do things, man, way past the level of where I'm at. Because long as I can come in, man, and start paving the road for you, just like Picard came and he did plays and not even realizing, even though he'll never say it to me, I'll say it to him. You paved the road because you did plays and showed them that black people can do more than just what they think. So me doing this now, I'm chopping down some trees, laying some concrete. You won't come and put a highway through this jungle one day. People like you, people like Calvo, all y'all, I'm going to do that stuff, man. And I'll be a footnote in history. But I'll be a footnote in history where they will know me because my legacy will be left behind. And don't ever let them pigeonhole you either, brother. Let me say that to you. Malik, I know we about out of time, pushing time. But for me, everybody knows me as a clean-cut kid, who no nerdy kid. I'm clean-cut. That is me. Don't get me wrong, that is me. But when I wrote Sacred, okay, Sacred was given to me to write because it was something that I wanted to get out, something that I knew that was a great story about a black family, you know, owning a hospital, a clinic in this city of Pensacola. People don't realize that's just a movie, but there's a series that followed. That was just a pilot. I want to make that clear for anyone who maybe missed the other 12 interviews I've done. That was just the pilot for the series that is going to follow. So when you watch it, don't just think, oh man, what's... No, 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 no. I'm introducing you to all these characters
for a reason.
And I had a certain amount of time so you can get to know Luke, Shakivia, PJ, all of them. You had to get to know these people, but I had a certain window to get it out. But just know there's a series that follows that. So everybody out there who thinks like, oh man, you wrote Sacred, man, and you know, you're supposed to be a church guy, you know, something like that. I still am. That don't change nothing.
Never do.
It don't change nothing. You know what I mean? I'm still him. I'm still that guy. And I'm going to give everyone those faith-based stories. I'm going to give you some stories because I'm going to incorporate writers into my stories that I create. Okay? Because I won't always write everything. Eventually, I'll bring on younger writers. Okay? You take this. I'm going to bring on other directors, which you'll see soon, that will direct projects. But don't just pigeonhole me and say, you can only do faith-based stuff. Because you know what? By me entering into certain rooms, I'm going to be able to affect people who normally wouldn't go to church. Yeah. Because they're going to watch interviews like this and see the God in me. And they're going to gravitate toward me. And they're going to realize that, you know what? There's a light in him. Let me find out more. And it all started because they watched Sacred. And now they're fans.
Not the stuff.
There you go.
They ain't going
there
no
you
go, man. Man, Mr. Rico. You have a couple of lot already.
Oh, yeah. We got to do this again sometime.
We definitely do.
Yeah.
We definitely do.
It'll be a part three.
Yeah, we can do part three. Definitely can do that.
If Bad Boys can get four, I think we can get three.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Why not? But for closing remarks, because I know you got a project you're working on right now that you can't talk about.
Yeah.
But I know you got to go.
Yeah.
You got a lot of things going on and everything. But before we leave, you already left them with a lot.
Yeah.
But I want you to leave them with something. I want you to imagine someone that was that's going through right now what you went through than 6 months ago. Give them little words of encouragement to help them to lift them up or tell them to keep walking through that, that hell, keep walking through that storm. Something along them lines.
I'm going to say to everybody who's watching this, who may be listening to the sound of my voice, remember these words: God is for you, who can be against you? Because I put on Facebook last night on social media, I said, as long as God has got my back, I'm not worried about nothing else. See, people can tell you all day, I got your back, got your back. And man will always falter on you. But when God has got your back, there is not a devil in hell that can come against you. And you have to remember that. You got to keep that little piece of faith in you, knowing that God's got my back. So no matter what anybody throwing at you, no matter what anybody's saying, God got your back. No matter how many times they take and put the nails through your hand, God got your back. Crown of thorns on your head, God got your back. Because Jesus went through it all to show us that if he can endure and get through it all, we can get through it all. So take that with you, man. And I say to everybody, man, keep your head high. And just know God got your back.
Man, I can't even do nothing but say amen to that. Look, because he showed what he just said was nothing but what came from the heart. Because, man, that was the heart need.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Everybody need, you know, everybody's heart need to know that. Hey, no need to worry. Just gotta.
Yeah. You gotta keep faith. Keep faith. Yeah. If you believe it, that God got your back, that stuff ain't gonna bother you.
Because
you know he the ultimate wingman.
Yes.
Ain't a wingman like him.
Oh, yeah.
If he got you, he gonna get you through it all.
Oh, yeah.
And you gotta believe that, man. You gotta believe that.
Oh, yeah. I say a lot of times, like, you gotta do this. Why can't you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But Mr. Rico, I wanna say thank you again for coming on this episode. From boys to men.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Man. For all those out there watching, Sacred streaming in 12 different platforms right now. So wherever you're watching at, you want to go Amazon Prime, Apple, Tubi, just name a few. You can find us there, find them anywhere. It's real. Yeah. I don't think it's going nowhere.
It ain't going nowhere.
But
more to come.
Like I said, you heard it first. More to come. But go check it out. Go give us a look. Leave a review and everything too. Because, hey, all you're doing is helping. It's free to leave a review anyway. So you're doing nothing but helping build a black business, basically.
Exactly.
A black filmmaker to encourage more black filmmakers to come out of this area or other areas around the world. We need more voices like ours in this industry. Someone that's going to actually guide us in the right way, not going to deteriorate us the Hollywood way. I'm just going to say it like that.
There you go.
But like I always say before I leave, man, Thank you all tuning in for watching. Go ahead and click that subscribe button if y'all haven't subscribed yet. And remember, we're on every platform that you find a podcast. So you want to go Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you need to go. Click it, follow, leave a review as well for that too. Y'all, I know I was gone for 5 to 6 months too. I'll do my own. I want my own little stuff too. Yeah. Mental health break.
Yeah.
But we back. We better. God seen me through that, and he's gonna see me through whatever.
He got your back.
He got my back.
There you go.
He got my back.
Yeah.
But love y'all. Thank y'all. Peace, love, happiness. Wait, I'm forgetting my whole lingo. Oh, I was going straight to the end. But look, dream big dreams, the small dreams have a little magic. How big we dream, you know you couldn't fail. And remember, you do y'all best to let God take care of the rest. Now, peace, love, and happiness. We out. Yes, sir.
I know that I'm different, self-motivated, self-disciplined, yeah. I learned from my experience, I just want someone to take me serious. Real questions that I ask, how long will this solo trip last? I'm content with being alone in the past, but it's changing and it's something I can't grasp. Turn off my phone, I'm in my zone, so now I'm acting. I'm to myself, I'm in my head, mapping out this life I'm living. Shadow work on myself, I done already seen hell. Can't fit in, so I rebel, but I don't miss a beat. I don't miss a beat.